privilege to have a microphone. Good. It's a privilege to be here. I'm honored. Am I supposed to wear this? I told Brother Esposito he was wearing a dress tonight. I'm not sure about this place. Open your Bible, if you would, quickly tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes. I was here the night that Brother Luis preached, and I've realized my name is now Hasson. Hasson. Almost sounds like Wasol, but no, Hasson. Okay. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I'm going to preach a message tonight for a few minutes called Emsantia. Do you understand that? You'll understand in a few minutes. Emsantia. Sense. Ecclesiastes chapter number 9 and line number 10. Graduates, it says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom, where? In the grave. In other words, if you're going to do it, you got to do it now. Because you're not sure if tomorrow's going to come. Whither thou goest. How's that for positivity? You are going to the grave. So if you're going to do something for God, right now is the time. It's not time to wait until you get older. It's not time to wait till you get prettier or handsomer or whatever it is. It's not time to wait. It's time now. Now's the time. Amen. Line number 11. He says, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and sense. Time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. They had no idea that was going to happen, but it happened. Brethren, there is no doubt that we're all rushing toward one appointed day. We all are going to meet Mr. Die someday. We're all going to meet him. And although we will not all meet him the same day or the same way, we're all still going to meet him unless the rapture happens and then we'll all meet him in the air. Yeah. You know, when I was in Bible school, God allowed me to be a Sunday school bus captain. I was a bus captain, bus route number 7, the very best bus. All right. I was a bus captain of bus number 7. Come on now, come on now. Come on. I was bus captain of bus number 7.
Amen.
Not amen, the very best bus. All right, okay. I was bus captain of bus number 7. Thank you. Thank you. And my bus route was in southeast San Diego, and it basically surrounded several cemeteries that just lined themselves up in San Diego. One of the cemeteries was, I forget the name of it. But it has the world's largest mausoleum. A mausoleum is where when you're dead, instead of going in the grave, they put you inside a wall. Papua New Guineans think that is so strange that they'd put you in a wall. But it's the world's largest mausoleum. It's called the Bible Mausoleum. And on Saturday afternoons when I was done with my bus route, oftentimes I would go into that mausoleum and I would walk and talk with God. No one else was talking. So it was a really good place to go. But I'd walk and talk with the Lord while I wandered the halls of that mausoleum. There's like 5 stories of this thing, 2 down. I didn't oftentimes go down because if you go down, you may not ever come out, right? So I always hung around the top ones, and I'd walk around those top ones, and I would read the signs on the granite walls. Oftentimes, that is a sobering place. I would walk around that place really to help me get a good grip on a regular basis of the reason why I ran my bus route. As we run our bus route on Sundays, as we drive around those cemeteries, we're picking up boys and girls, moms and dads for church, before we would leave that area, we'd say, kids, the devil's a liar. How do we know the devil's a liar? He says, thou shalt not surely die. Yea, hath God said, thou shalt surely die? No, that's not going to happen. I said, look at that. People die. the devil's a liar. Amen. But I'd walk around that mausoleum, and oftentimes I would see people would come and leave notes. They'd leave cards, notes, and the notes were open, so if they're open, they're kind of available for us to read, right? And so I would read those notes. It would break my heart to hear mamas oftentimes weep on pages for their child that they never got to really grow up with, or sometimes a parent, or so on and so forth. But you know how sad death is, but also how certain death is. You know, each of these epitaphs had a start date and they had a finish date. Separating those two dates, a common message you might hear preachers say, is the dash right in between those two dates. And that dash represents their whole life. Can you imagine your whole life being boiled down to a simple dash that's on a piece of granite? And no one really gets to read what's behind the dash. No one really gets to know what's behind the dash, but God knows what's behind that dash. Brethren, sisters, when it's your time to die, what will you have accomplished for Jesus Christ? What will your dash represent? What will your legacy be? What will you leave behind for others to build upon? That dash is going to represent your life. You know, many years ago, I heard a missionary in the Philippines say this. Right when I was starting deputation, he said this: do something that will outlive your life.
There you go.
Do something. I'm not worried about being famous. I don't want to be infamous, but I'm not worried about being famous. But I want to leave a mark on this world that Jason Russell was here and that he served God. And these are the people who've been saved. And these are the people who are reached. And these are the people who are trained. And these are the churches that were started. And these are the people behind those churches. I want to leave a mark.
Amen.
And Bible college graduates and students, I hope that's the reason why you're here, to leave a mark on this world for Jesus Christ. The devil's leaving enough of his mark around here. That was the challenge to a young man from a broken home who had no Bible college education but wanted to do something for Christ. I want to do something for Jesus Christ. You know, I'm thankful that the scripture teaches us that it doesn't matter where you start out, your ending can be so much more. It can be different. In our text, we read about how the race is not always won by the fastest runner. How many of you are happy about that?
Yeah.
You can win the race and not even be the fastest one out there. Just ask the turtle. Hey, the conqueror is not always the strongest fighter. Sometimes you see that little guy and he's boxing that big guy. There's no way that little guy can beat the big guy, but sure enough, somehow he beats him. We find from that scripture that the simple person can also find success. It says, neither yet bread to the wise. That one who just, you know, you don't think he's going to amount to much, look out. He starts a company like Microsoft. Starts a company like Apple. Never graduated. Simple. Dropouts. And I learned from this text that you don't have to be skillful to earn respect. It says, nor yet favor to men of skill.
Amen.
In Papua New Guinea, we get to do some amazing things. We get to do some amazing things. I get to preach. Amen? I get to preach. But oftentimes, I also get to run a sawmill, and we built our houses, and we built our churches. Nowadays, I get to drill for water. We've been drilling for water, and not only sustaining our life, but the lives of hundreds, yea, thousands of other peoples by drilling for water. And people, pastor, will come up to me on a regular basis, and they're looking with wonder and say, and this is why they're asking, did you go to school for that? Did you go to school for that? And I always say this, man, I went to Bible school. I didn't go to school for that. But that's what God can do.
That's right.
That's
Amen.
What God can do.
Amen.
That's what God can do. Brethren, God has given every person two things that really boil down to one. In our text, two things are given to every one of us. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
Number one something is time. You are evidence right now that you've got time. But mind you, the time clock is ticking.
Oh, yeah.
Amen?
Yes.
The time clock is ticking, but you've got time right now. The other thing that God says that he gives to everybody is chance, sense. Him giving you me sense, not sense, sense. For this reason, Solomon said, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I mean, with everything you've got. Give it all you've got. Don't hold back anything to put in the grave. When I'm dead, I want to be dead. I mean, dead. That was a good place for an amen right there.
Come on.
When you're dead, just be dead. I mean, wore out for Jesus Christ. Amen. Don't leave anything on the field. Don't leave anything behind. Put everything inside. Do your best for Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work. I mean, when you go down to those cemeteries, I go in that mausoleum, there's no noise. Nobody's grinding on any stone in there. Nobody's writing any papers. Nobody's building any houses. They're dead. They're gone. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. In Papua New Guinea, when someone is given a good opportunity, the statement you will hear them say is this: Emsansia. Emsans. That's chance right there. That's my chance. You know, it could be that a cargo truck somehow got broken down on the Highlands Highway. And it's broken down. It just happens to break down next to your village. And they will say, oh, Emsansia. Inside that truck, there is something valuable. Let's break the lock and find out what it is. Emsansia. They're thinking God just blessed them in a mighty way. Ah, truck is broken. Emsansia. You get it now? That's our chance. It could be that someone in front of you has dropped a $10 bill. They didn't know, man. They're walking around and somehow they're... $10 falls out of their pocket, and they just walk along, and the guy behind them, he doesn't think, hey, sir, you dropped $10 here. No. They're going to say what? Sansia. That's our chance. We've got it. Oh, Papa God, thank you, Trula, this was something. You blessing me now. Sansia. Perhaps you hear about maybe a dinghy going to a village, and they've got a little space inside the dinghy, and they're going your way, and you're going that way, but you've got no money to get on the dinghy, but you say, hey, I'm Sansia, I'm one plus seat stop ya. Buy me call up, now go inside. I'll get inside with you, and we'll go out. C.T. Studd said this statement, only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
Sansia.
Yes.
That's your chance. That's your chance. Only what's done, only one life will soon be passed. Only one life to offer, Jesus my Lord and King. Only one tongue to praise thee, and of thy mercy sing forever. If you know it, sing it. Only one heart's devotion, Savior, oh, may it be, consecrated alone to thy matchless glory. Yielded fully to thee. Only this hour is mine, Lord. May it be used for thee. May every passing moment count for eternity, my Savior. Souls all about are dying, dying in sin and shame. Help me bring them the message of Calvary's redemption in thy glorious name. Graduates, this is your time, and this is your chance to make a difference. This is your time and your chance to make a difference. You came to Bible school to prepare to make a difference for Christ in the world. Don't lose focus of that. You've got your certificate. God bless you. Now take the certificate and throw it in the rubbish. Wow. I worked for 4 years for this certificate. I can't do that. That certificate means nothing. Unless you use what you learned behind that certificate.
Yeah,
oh, in Papua New Guinea. Oh, Limbla Mipla. Our people love certificates. I told college chapel today, there is even a certificate for learning how to use a tape measure. If you want to get a job at some construction site, you will bring that certificate. Mi sabe lo using this la tape measure. Tape measure. But it means nothing if you don't use that certificate. Don't sell yourself short by limiting what God can do through you. God wants to use you. There's a world out there crying and dying and waiting for someone to come help them. Today I passed out several gospel tracts. Every one of those people said thank you. Right here in Long Beach, they said thank you to me. Thank you. Wow. You're welcome. God bless you. I hope you get saved. People out there waiting to hear.
Yes.
Don't be one of those can God furnish a table in the wilderness type of Christians. Psalm 73. But rather be one of those. Libby, what is it? Not a can God, but a God can. What kind of Christian are you? Can God use you to serve him?
Yep.
Brother, can God use you to serve him over there in the mission field? Come on now. Woo! God can.
Yes,
forgive me. I don't want to perceive to be boasting, but I want to give you an idea here. We've seen 9 churches started. We have 7 right now being planted right now. That's awesome. That's what God can do. Woo. Are you okay? Did I boast or? 1 Samuel 17. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I now done? What's the statement now? Is there not a cause? Hey, students, graduates, there is a cause. There is a cause. I heard an evangelist describe David's encounter with Goliath like this. He said, if I can't knock his head off, bless God, I'll bite his kneecap.
Yeah.
Hey, graduates, you may not think that you can do something great. And if you think you can do something great, probably God's going to have to humble you a little bit. But God wants to use you to do something great.
That's right.
You know, there is a cause. It's called the Great Commission.
Yeah.
You know, it's not the little commission. It's not the big commission. It's the what?
Great.
It's the Great Commission that you and I get to be a part of. Hear me carefully. The time and chance has come for you to make a difference. Imagine this for just a moment. I thought about getting a big rope in here and tying it from that corner and that corner and from that corner and that corner like we're going to square this building. And then you'll see that as you walk that thing across, time and chance are going to meet. That's opportunity. Tonight is your time to graduate. And this is your chance to make a difference. All of you will be teachers of the next generation in some capacity. You'll show the generation to come what Christianity is really all about. Will they see a person surrendered? Will they see a person willing to sacrifice? A person that lives for service? Will they see that? Or will they see a person who's got safeguards built up? Selfishness and sadness all about them. Graduates, this is your chance to make a difference in our world for Christ. Brother Luis, I'm Sancia. Graduates, let's say it together. Ready? I'm Sancia. Okay, you're getting good now. One more time. Here we go. Ready? All right, you're ready to come to New Guinea now. You've got one phrase down. I'm Sancia. God bless you, students. I'm looking forward, and I fully expect to hear that God's going to use you in a powerful way. God bless you.